¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor.
What a tremendous situation. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, the song of Moses. I'll just read two verses of the prophecy that Moses spoke to the church, even speaking to the five foolish virgins. Let's read verse 5 and verse 16. Verse 5 says, "And they have acted corruptly towards him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped up and crooked generation." Verse 16 says, "They made him jealous with their foreign gods, and they angered him with their detestable idols." That is essentially what the foolish virgins did in the dying moments when they can see the land of milk and honey right ahead of them. They were not able to honor God with their bodies, to honor God with their walk, with their lives. If they had honored God, they would have walked in the fear of the Lord, somebody. A trait that we see with the wise virgins. Let us move on, precious people. There was still a lot of prophecy that was spoken towards this apostasy. Jesus himself spoke in John chapter 5, verse 43, and he was talking to the church even about the apostasy that would hit the church. He said, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him." This was directed to the foolish virgins, to the church that fails to enter. Hallelujah. And this church, even with the knowledge of Christ, was not able to live according to this word that cleans with water and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were not available to Christ. And yet, the church that made the perfect bride was able to live in the fear of the Lord, in the word, and so they could enter the rapture. So the apostasy that hits the church is actually symbolized by the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish that fall, and the remnant that enters the rapture. But I want to bring you to something very, very critical right now. In Israel, even as the Lord spoke about these difficult, dark days of the last days of the end time. Now, I want to talk about a very important event in Israel. I want to talk about the Hanukkah. The Hanukkah is a very important time in Israel. And the Hanukkah was an event that actually reflects what you see in the church today. First of all, the Jewish people celebrate and commemorate Hanukkah. And they use the Hanukkah as a time in which they mark the passing away of darkness. Hallelujah. They also speak about victory over darkness during Hanukkah. Let me explain this to you. There was a time at which the Greek Syrian king called Antiochus IV, he attacked and conquered the land of Israel, the Holy Land. And when he conquered there, he brought forth a great darkness into the land. And he brought a lot of darkness because he commanded the Jewish people, the Israelites, to reject their God, reject their religion, reject their faith, reject their religious practices, reject their worship, reject their spiritual ceremonies, reject their customs, reject their culture, reject everything that was ever instituted upon them by the Torah, by the 5 books of Moses. And he reigned over them, and this rejection, this command that he brought over them to reject their God, the Holy One of Israel, brought a great darkness into the land of Israel. Let me bring it to another level. It also brought a great darkness into the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, because Antiochus was a Greek king, he also brought in the Greek gods. There were many small Greek gods, the god of the sun, the god of the moon, and the god of the wind. And we also know that the Greeks, they always glorified human wisdom, the peak of which was Plato and Socrates. So they defiled the temple of the Lord and the land Because they brought the pantheonism, which is the believing in many gods, into the holy place, the holy land, where Jehovah, the God of Israel, was being worshipped. And they commanded this over the Israelites, somebody. So this created a great period of gross darkness in the land and also in the temple. But now listen to me, somebody. They also entered the temple of the Lord and touched the articles there. They touched the objects there and created a great darkness and defilement within the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But when this was happening, this was symbolic of a prophecy of what is happening in the church today. Hallelujah. The Greeks believed so much in human intellectualism. They glorified man, the study of the stars, the moon, the gods of the stars, the moons. They brought these into the house of the Lord. They looted the treasury in the house of the Lord and looted many articles and used it to worship their strange, idolatrous gods. You see that? They never believed in spiritual purity. So this time, it's about 2,300 years ago, this time of darkness that swept through the temple of the Lord and the land of Israel actually was a prophetic event of what was going to happen even to the church, like it's happening now. What do you see in the church now? You see intellectualism. People worship money. They believe more into theology, human reasoning. They have brought many other gods in the house of the Lord. In fact, there is a great darkness right now in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want to look at the festival of Hanukkah. The festival of Hanukkah, the Jewish celebration that is called the Hanukkah, which is also called the festival of the miracle of the oil, or the festival of light. Hallelujah. I want to talk about a very important spiritual event that took place in Israel that also reflects the darkness that has entered the church right now. And it took place as a prophecy of this darkness that would enter into the house of the Lord right now. Again, now we see very clearly that there is a lot of darkness in the church. You hear all across the secular media in the world of bishops split, 50% church leaders discussing homosexuality, how to ordain gays. That is surely the fact that darkness has entered the house of the Lord, a gross darkness. There is the big love of money. You hear about conmanship, people pretending to be prophets, false prophets, conning members of congregations of a lot of money, lying with false prophecies of prosperity, which is far from the word of God and any holiness, far from the work of the Holy Spirit. That is great darkness. We hear about scandals of sexual sin in the church, between the pastors, the servants of the Lord, and the members of the congregations. Sexual sin within the congregations, in the worship teams. How can the worship teams lead the congregations before the Lord when they themselves are in sexual sin? So there's a lot of darkness in the church. The greater you are, the bigger the churches, the greater the number of cars you have, the private jets you have, the greater you are considered in the church. Surely that is a lot of darkness in the house. So I want to look at one very important event that took place in Israel that prophesied the coming of this darkness in the house of the Lord. Remember, there is nothing that happened to Israel that did not speak to the church. Even the way we have looked at the closure of the Eastern Gate facing the Mount of Olives. Let us look at the Jewish Hanukkah. The Jewish Hanukkah is a very important time when the Jewish people celebrate a victory. They commemorate the Hanukkah to celebrate a victory. But what victory do they celebrate? They celebrate two forms of victory. One of them is a military victory, and the other is a spiritual victory. So in fact, Hanukkah has been dubbed, has been renamed, Dare to Fight, Dare to Light celebration. Because at one point, the land of Israel was conquered by a Greek-Syrian king called Antiochus IV. And when this Greek-Syrian king conquered Israel, that land, he conquered the land and he instituted tremendous rules and changes within Israel, among the Israelites. He was very tyrannical, very forceful and very mighty and powerful. That's why the Hanukkah festival is called Dare to Fight, Dare to Light. Who could dare fight him? And during this time, the Jewish people celebrate a major victory over darkness. Why darkness? Now, when the king Antiochus took over, the Greek Syrian king took over the land, he conquered the land, he did the following. He commanded the Jewish people, the Israelites, to reject their God, because the Greeks never believed in Jehovah. So he commanded the Israelites to reject their God, reject their religion, reject their worship, reject their culture, reject their customs, and reject their belief. And in the process, he forced them to adopt and begin worshipping the Greek gods, the gods of the sun, the gods of the moon, and the gods of the wind. This brought a great spiritual darkness within the land and within the temple of the Lord. The same king Antiochus entered into the temple of the Lord, and he touched articles that were being used to worship Jehovah, the Most High God. He touched them, he defiled them, touched the objects there, looted some of them. So they used it to worship the Greek gods. There were many gods. He instituted Parthenonism, which is the worshipping of many gods, the way the Greeks worship many gods. And a great gross darkness entered the land of Israel and even the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And during that time, he also looted the treasury of the house of the Lord. So he tremendously defiled the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And he brought what we call the Greek and Hellenist, the Hellenic rule over the temple. He brought the temple right under the Greek and Hellenic rule. That brought the darkness to a different level. Hallelujah. And the Greeks essentially believed in human intellectualism, human wisdom, human glory, the peak of which was during Plato and Socrates. You see that? Those are the thinkers, the great thinkers, the human intellectuals, the human glory. Hallelujah. People that studied the stars, the moons, and they did not believe in Jehovah, the Most High God. So surely, this was a great period of darkness that ruled over the land of Israel and even the holy temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Little did they know that this was a prophecy of what was going to befall the church. Hallelujah. We see the church is also in a great darkness right now, being ruled by intellectualism. The more degrees you have as a pastor, the degrees of theology, the more respected you are. The more amount of money you have, the more feared and respected you are as a pastor. The richer the church is, the richer its accounts, the bigger the building, the more respected the church is. The newer the private jet that the pastor has, the greater he is considered within the Christian community. Surely that's a great darkness. We hear of sex scandals, televangelism with televangelists falling into sexual sin, books are written about them. This is the gross period of darkness that this darkness in Israel during the Hellenic rule and the Greek rule prophesied unto the church. And you see that this was happening about 2,300 years ago. Essentially speaking a prophecy to the great gross darkness that would hit the church. And so the Greeks never believed in Jehovah, the Most High God. The Greeks never believed in Jehovah, the God of Israel. But as they forced and commanded the Jewish people, the Israelites, to worship, abandon their God, and begin worshipping the many Greek gods, the majority of the Hebrew people refused to worship the Greek gods. They refused to abandon Jehovah, even if the temple was directly under the Greek and Hellenic rule. And a revolt emerged. They resisted this rule. And one of the key people is called Judah Maccabee. Judah Maccabee rose as a leader among the Hebrews and staged a fight, and he defeated the Greek rulers and the Greek kingdom. So the Greek rule came to an end in Israel, even the temple of the Lord. And that's why the Hanukkah celebrations are called the festivals of the light. And that's why I bring it into you here, because this is so critical into the parable of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. At the end of this, you'll be so astonished at the depth of the Word of God. The Hanukkah festival falls under the Torah, the five books of Moses. Hallelujah. It is also called the festival of the miracle of the oil in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It is also called the Hanukkah celebrations. And you see that it is widely celebrated. And when they celebrate, they mark three major events. They mark, number one, a military victory over the Greek rule that brought darkness. And then they mark a spiritual victory, the passing, the removal away of the darkness that had overshadowed the land and the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And the third thing they mark is the big miracle of the oil in the temple of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. And it is also called the festival of the lights, because during that time the lamps of the Lord are lit. It also marks the rededication of the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem back to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see very clearly that when the Hebrew people had conquered the Hellenists, they had conquered the Hellenic rule, the Greek rule, they had conquered that, they finally started cleaning up the temple of the Lord. And they were struggling to rekindle the lamp of the Lord in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But when they looked around, because the Hellenic rule had touched the articles of the Lord and defiled the temple, looted the treasury, they looked for the oil. They did not find any consecrated olive oil with which to light the lamp of the Lord. Hallelujah. And remember that during the time of the Hellenic rule, the Greek rule, the Greeks used to light up the lamp within the house of the Lord using defiled olive oil, non-consecrated olive oil. So they really defiled every element of worship in the house of the Lord. So now the Hebrew people were trying to rededicate the temple of the Lord back to Jehovah Yahweh. And they searched and they did not find any oil with which to rekindle the lamp of the Lord in the temple of the Lord. Then finally they ran into this one vial of consecrated olive oil that was of the old, during the time when the glory of the Lord used to visit the temple. And they used this to light the eternal light, the eternal lamp, the eternal fire of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Remember, the lamp of the Lord in the house of the Lord never extinguished. Once it was lit, there were several priests that kept going that add the consecrated sacred anointing oil, sacred olive oil, the consecrated oil. They kept adding and it never went off. Hallelujah. And that also reminds you of the time when Samuel, the prophet of God, was being called by Jehovah. Samuel was lying next to the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says, and the lamp of God had not gone off. It never went off. So they found one vial in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And this one vial was of the original oil, the consecrated olive oil. And it was just enough for one day. But they used it to light the lamp of the Lord. Now, the light of the Lord that was eternal was called, in Hebrew they call it Ner Tamid. So they used this one. It stood for the eternal light of the Lord in the house of the Lord. They used this little vial of consecrated original olive oil to light the eternal light of the Lord, the eternal fire of the Lord in the house of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But now, when they lit it, it was just sufficient for one day. Once lit, nobody is supposed to ever extinguish the light of the Lord. And this light of the Lord is always found in all houses of Jewish worship. This is how they worship Jehovah. And so they cleansed up the temple, they cleaned it up, found this one vial, they used it now to light Ner Tamid, which is the eternal light of the Lord. But the tragedy here was that it was just enough oil for one day. And yet to clean up the temple of the Lord, they needed 7 straight days of the burning of the lamp of the Lord. And then they would continue into eternity to burn the lamp of the Lord, the light of the Lord, in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. But when they poured and lit, a miracle happened. Hallelujah. The lamp of the Lord in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem continued burning for 8 good straight days. Hallelujah. The tiny little consecrated olive oil was able to carry them through to burn for 8 straight days. Not 7, but 8. And that is the miracle that the Jewish people do celebrate during Hanukkah. The Hanukkah is celebrated on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev. And it normally comes around Christmas time. I remember very well in Israel, it was very cold, the winter is setting in. That's when the Hanukkah songs began. We started going to Hanukkah festivities, and it is celebrated for 8 days, commemorating the 8 days of the miracle of oil, when the Lord himself, he was able to oil the lamp of God in the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And that's why I bring it in very critical here when Christ was speaking about the big parable of the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise virgins. No wonder the Hanukkah is called the festival of the lights, the festival of the lamps. Now, during the Hanukkah, the 8 lamps are lit. It's called the menorah. The candelabra is the menorah. And the leading one that is used to light each one of them, each one for each day, so there are 8 at the end, is called Shamash. In other words, the servant. And that stands for the Lord that was able to light the 8 others for the 8 days, the big miracle of the oil that continued burning in the temple of the Lord for 8 straight days. Hallelujah. Burning the eternal lamp, the eternal fire of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Now, what is the spiritual significance of the Hanukkah, even unto the church? Within the Hebrew community, the celebrations of the Hanukkah also represents when Moses met the burning bush. That is the same time at which they also celebrate it. They said that is the same light that Moses met the eternal fire of the Lord. And we see very clearly that surely in the house of the Lord Jehovah, Jesus is the eternal lamp, the eternal light that was lit by Jehovah our God in his house, that we may have that light in the house forever, to eternity. Hallelujah. So when the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins, when they lit their lamps, they essentially were symbolizing the fact that their lamps were being lit by the eternal lamp of the Lord, the eternal light of the Lord, that is our Lord Jesus, lighting up the lives of the Christians. Hallelujah. No wonder the 5 wise virgins, the same lamps that our Lord Jesus lit in their lives, they were able to enter with into eternity. Hallelujah. They entered with into the wedding supper of the Lamb of God. So when the period of darkness hit the land of Israel, which time now they celebrate during Hanukkah, it was a mighty prophecy of the great darkness that would cover the house of the Lord, the church. And then there would be a need for the eternal lamp, the eternal fire of the Lord, that's our Lord Jesus, to light up the lives of the remnant church, the remnant bride of Christ, with an eternal lamp, a non-extinguishable lamp. And Jehovah God himself, through the Holy Spirit, would refuel that lamp into eternity. And that's why the miracle of the oil of the lamps in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem was a mighty prophecy that was speaking about the passing away, the rededication of the temple of the Lord, of the house of God, the church of Christ, that would come after the great period of darkness that would completely engulf the church. And you see that after the Hellenistic rule, now the Hebrew people were able to rededicate the temple, rekindle the lamp of God, the eternal light of God in the house, in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And the Lord himself was able, through the Holy Spirit, to continue fueling that lamp that is Jesus, that is in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, speaking a prophecy that during the last days before the rapture, there will be a gross darkness in the house of the Lord, the church. And then there will be a time of rededicating the temple of the Lord. That's the minority, the remnant church, that would eventually be lit up finally. Their lamps will be lit up with the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. So you too, you are the light of the world. The eternal light that will bring light into the darkness that would engulf the world. And this is the same darkness that is very typical of the church right now. And that's why you see that the five wise virgins, the lamps they lit as they stepped out to go wait on the bridegroom, were the same lamps they entered with into the wedding of the Lamb of God. Therefore implying that God Himself would now refuel the lamps of the five wise virgins into eternity, because they are now the bearers of the eternal light, the eternal fire, the eternal lamp of the Lord, the light of the world, that is our Lord Jesus. So that is the great prophecy that's embedded within the Jewish culture that was speaking about the parable of the five foolish virgins and of the five wise virgins, the virgins that stepped out of the house of the Lord when darkness had engrossed the house to wait on the bridegroom, five of whom were lit to eternity. That is what the Lord was speaking to the church. So therefore, in conclusion here, even in finishing here, the parable of the 10 virgins, five wise and five foolish, is deep and seated right at the center of the rapture of the church. And in there we have seen that is embedded the secrets of what church constitutes the remnant bride of Christ. And we see very clearly that the Lord is telling the church, if you want to enter into the rapture, be available. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, wash you, cleanse you, make you radiant. And even as you have been lit by the eternal light of the Lord, that's our Lord Jesus, the same Holy Spirit will now refuel you into eternity. Because the candles in the house of the Lord, the lamp in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, did not only light for 7 days, but spilled over into the next day of the new week. And therefore, even the five wise virgins, when they were lit, their lamps did not just carry them through up to when the rapture happened, but right into the rapture and eternity. May the Lord bless you. May you be available to Him. And may you be infilled with the Holy Spirit. May your lamp light into eternity. Shalom.
¿Qué sería de mí si no me hubieras alcanzado? ¿Dónde estaría hoy si no me hubieras perdonado? Tendría un vacío en mi corazón, vagaría sin rumbo, sin dirección. Si no fuera por tu gracia y por tu amor, si no fuera por tu gracia y por